This is the Sean Hannity Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back. It's the Sean Hannity Show. Mark Simone here for Sean. He'll be back on Monday. Normally, you find me on WOR 710 in New York, our big flagship in New York City. Here's a great guest, Mark Levine. Now, here's an interesting guy. He's a talk radio host, a TV pundit, former legislative counsel to Congressman Barney Frank. He's now running for Congress himself, Virginia's 8th Congressional District. And he vehemently disagrees with the Supreme Court ruling on campaign financing. It's good to have him with us. Mark, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here. And you're right about all those things.
Well, let's look at this op-ed piece you write about the Koch brothers. Now,
right.
You know, these Koch brothers are great guys. David Koch, I know a little. Charles, I don't really know, but they're great.
Are you just trying to get some of their billions, Mark? Is that what it's all about?
You know, all you have to do to get their billions is be a hospital, a charity. If you go all over New York, you'll see their name.
Or support fighting unions and mistreating workers, and they'll be happy to support you.
Well, listen, when you're a huge employer and you got hundreds of thousands of employees, any big corporation, whether it's Apple, whoever it is, you're going to have some dispute somewhere about some employee, some union. That goes on. But these are big, big business guys, employers, and guys that have given hundreds of millions to hospitals, charities. How could you dislike them?
I don't like the fact that two brothers can spend more money than all unions and all tens of millions of working people combined. I don't think that two people should have the political power of millions. I have this crazy notion that all men are created equal and that people should have one person, one vote, not $1, one vote. I don't believe in a plutocracy.
All right.
I guess you do.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah. Will you say the same thing right now about the Steyer brothers, those Democrat?
Say it about everyone. George Soros, Sheldon Adelson, the Koch brothers, it doesn't matter to me whether it's left or right. I don't think that politicians should be sold to the highest bidder. I just don't believe in that.
Well, Soros I could understand. I mean, he's kind of a shadowy figure. He's a convicted felon, insider trader, seems to be crazy, pushing for legalizing drugs everywhere. Him I could see you disliking. But that Sheldon Adelson, him I know. He's a nice guy.
You know, Sheldon Adelson spent, what, $92 million in 2012? I'm not talking about anyone's policies. This is not an issue of what the Koch brothers and Sheldon Adelson and George Soros stand for. It's a question of whether we should allow billionaires to control our political system. You know, there were only 600 people in America that wanted to give more than $123,000 limit opposed on poor Sean McCutcheon, who wanted to buy more than $123,000 worth of politicians. And I don't think giving some of the 600 richest people in the world, Democrat or Republican, even more power is very good for our political system.
If you check the record, though, many of the people that the Koch brothers backed, take Mitt Romney or whoever, lost.
So they did lose, but here's the thing.
Well, they don't control the elections. Their candidates lose as often as they win.
They don't control the presidential election, and the reason why is quite simple. Most Americans know who's running for president. It's very hard to buy a presidential election because people have heard of Barack Obama and Mitt Romney. It's a lot easier to buy state legislatures, and what ALEC has done, the American Legislative Executive Council, I think is its name. This is what they do. They buy state legislators, and it's very cheap to buy a state legislator. You throw in $100,000, and you purchase one to go, kind of like at your McDonald's drive-thru window. And those are the people they don't know. Most Americans have never heard of their state legislature or their state legislators. They don't know who they are. And so it's very easy to buy smaller elections, and that allows, the states to be controlled by the Koch brothers, if not the presidency.
Well, you know, you bring up a good point because here in New York, many think we have the most corrupt state legislature ever in history. It's all Democrats, and even the Democratic governor, Andrew Cuomo, campaigned on trying to clean up that mess.
But my point is, I don't even make it a Democratic-Republican thing. Obviously, I'm a Democrat. Obviously, I support liberal policies. But this is an argument that I want to reach across the partisan barrier here and reach out to Tea Party and Republicans and just say, look, let's say that all the billionaires and millionaires, whether they're liberal or conservative, shouldn't be controlling our elections. Let's let ordinary people do it. And, you know, when we used to have a limit of $1,000, maybe $2,000, that made sense. But when someone could put, $92 million, the idea that Sheldon Adelson is getting all the Republican presidential candidates to do what they're calling the Sheldon primary, where each of them, and Chris Christie and Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, are all bowing down to this one man, I mean, we can't believe that they're doing it just to get his vote. They're doing it to get his money, and the ordinary citizen doesn't have that power. And I think that we fought against kings and dukes and earls in the Revolution because we didn't want a few people to have all that power.
Well, first of all,
I'd like to reach across to Republicans and say, join me in saying that there should be some limits here.
You're right that they go to Las Vegas and they bow down and campaign and plead for Sheldon Adelson's money. But they do that for everybody else, too. If you follow these candidates around on a campaign trail, they go to everywhere, from the Bronx to any borough of New York to any farm. They make the same exact pitch, same exact presentation at town halls, at campaign rallies for everybody in America.
Yeah, but you know, a town hall where you invite hundreds of people is very different from flying to Las Vegas and spending hours just waiting for the King Adelson to determine who wins the Sheldon primary. I mean, I don't know, Mark, have they come and talked to you, all the presidential candidates? I mean, you have a lot of power. You're a radio host on WOR. Have they come and chatted with you, each of them?
Yeah, they
Maybe
all
they
do.
Have.
You know, not only do they come and talk to us here, they go to every city and they go to every major radio station, every major TV station. If you, again, follow a guy on a presidential campaign, he speaks to every group everywhere. He's led around everywhere.
Give the individual attention that they're giving to Sheldon Adelson. I don't think you could argue that the waitress in your restaurant or maybe your cousin in wherever she or he is, they don't get that kind of attention. I don't think you're going to deny, Mark, the reason they're going to Sheldon Adelson and spending several days and waiting on him hand and foot is because of his money. I mean, you don't deny that. Democrats do it too. I'm not saying it's only Republicans.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you where I really stand on all of this. McCain, Feingold, all that stuff, limiting money. I've come to realize that was the wrong path because you can't limit the money. No matter what limit you put on, there's always another way to give it. A Soros finds a PAC to give it to. If there's no PAC to give it to, he creates some ridiculous thing like Media Matters or one of those things. There's always a way to give the money. I think the new thing is have everybody give it directly to the candidate, and let's just go for total transparency. You can get
with transparency.
Any amount to the Democrats
support the Disclose Act. It's the Republicans that oppose transparency. I hope you'll call in your party to support transparency.
Yeah, no, I'm for total transparency. You can give anything you want, but you got to write it directly to the candidate, and it all goes up on a website, and we can see where every penny has come from. That's the best
way. I fully support transparency. You and I agree on that. I would go further than transparency and actually limit the donations because why should Sheldon Adelson, who gave $92 million, have a million times more power than someone who gives $92? Is that fair? Is that democratic?
Okay, but what I'm saying is if you put the limits on, you get the George Soros sneaking around creating a Center for American Progress or a fake thing like Media Matters.
Here's the thing. I guess I see a think tank is different. And listen, you know, Center for American Progress, Matters, are liberal, Heritage Foundation. I can name you a whole group of ones that are conservative too, right? Both sides do it. A think tank that's going out and putting out position papers on everything from the minimum wage to health care, that's one thing. But I think funneling money into a candidate and trying to basically buy more TV ads than the other guy, I don't want billionaires to have that kind of power.
Yeah, but I'm saying a Center for American Progress, it's not just a think tank. If it was just a think tank, fine, but they're out there maneuvering, scheming, and you take that Media Matters. They're posing as some sort of a fake watchdog when actually they only watch one side and not the other.
Right, they do, and Fox watches the Democrats. So, you know, it all balances
out. Well, no, there's a difference. You know, one thing about Fox, every time you turn on a program, here's every leading Democrat in the world invited to come on and state their views.
Well, it's true, and I've been on Fox several times. Usually when I go on Fox, it's myself and five conservatives against me. I don't mind that. MSNBC is exactly the opposite. I'm all for airing all these views. My concern, though, is buying politicians. Look, if you give this much money to a politician, either you think they're going to do what you say, in which case it's a legalized form of bribery, and if you don't think they're going to do what you say, you've wasted your money. I don't understand why we have this system at all. I mean, you go to Europe, you go to Canada, and they have public financing of campaigns, and you don't have people buying politics.
Yeah, but they got more corruption, more nonsense going on in Europe, whether it's England, France, or Italy. You've never seen that kind of corruption that they have over there here. It's beyond
I don't know. I'll give you Italy, but I don't think England and France are more corrupt.
Oh,
I mean,
my God. They've had more shenanigans.
District of Columbia.
France,
I mean,
England.
That's the Democrat. And then we have McDonald in Virginia, Republican governor who was taking hundreds of thousands of dollars, and he's going to be indicted. I mean, it's there's too much corruption in America.
Yeah, you ever watch House of Cards?
I haven't seen it yet, and I don't spoil it for me. I am going to see it. When I finish this race, I'm too busy running for office. When I finish this race, I'm going to sit down and binge watch it all.
Hey, do yourself a favor. Watch a couple episodes of House of Cards and think about whether you really want to get into that racket. In the last,
I don't think it's going to go that badly. I think that's just fiction, but again, I haven't seen
it. Well, wait a minute. In the last few weeks, I've had a bunch of top congressmen on that have been there for years, and I said to each of them, how realistic is that show? And they all said, you know, it's pretty realistic.
Well, that makes me nervous, but I'll live.
And then there was one, I won't even name who it was, major figure in Congress. I said, is there anything on there that's not realistic? And he thought, and he said, well, I never saw a House Minority Leader actually murder anybody. I said, that's the only thing on there that's not realistic? He said, yeah.
You know, in the 1800s, there was a caning on the Senate floor. A pro-slavery activist caned an abolitionist. I think, who was it? I think it was Thaddeus Stevens that got caned almost to death right there on the Senate floor. So there has been violence. We have a history of it.
Oh, my God.
There certainly was a duel between Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton, so
hey,
we're not above that.
But you worked, right, for Congressman Barney Frank.
I did. He was my boss. I was his chief legislative counsel on the Hill.
So God knows what you saw going on, even in his living room. I'm kidding. It's a joke. So didn't he get caught with something in the living room there?
No. He was about 20 years earlier. He had a guy in his basement who was running tricks out of his basement.
Ah, but that could happen. That could happen to anybody.
Well, you have a home, you have a house guest, I think he was a tenant, and things happen. I wasn't there at the time, all right? So I can't claim to have any real knowledge of that.
All right, we won't pick on him.
Thank you.
But Mark Levine, now you're running for Congress, right, in Virginia's 8th Congressional District. So what if the Koch brothers said, hey, we like you, well, let's give you some money, you wouldn't take it?
They would never like me. I don't agree with any. I want to end pollution. I want to stop the bombing of mountaintops in West Virginia where they're raining down arsenic and cadmium and selenium into our rivers. I want to make sure that the people who destroyed the Elk River in West Virginia and kept 300,000 people without water, I want to punish them severely. They wouldn't like me very much.
You really need to calm down a little.
Not who I am. I'm the aggressive progressive.
Say George Soros is listening right now. Let's say he takes a break from his Gordon Gecko-ish, whatever he does there, and he says, I like this guy, and he calls you up. I'd like to give you $1 million. You're going to turn it down?
Well, he can't. Well, there's still a limit of $2,600 per candidate per race.
I know, but there's ways around it. He'll give it to a PAC.
Well, the way around it was he'd have to give to a super PAC, which means he couldn't coordinate with me anyway. So, it's a stupid system. It's a stupid system.
All right, to all the wealthy Democrats listening right now, you're saying to them, don't give any money to you.
Well, I'm not quite saying that because I think sometimes you have to join the system in order to fight it. But I'll tell you this, I'm putting a bunch of my own money in this race precisely because I can't really be bought. So I got to fund a lot of this myself.
All right. Listen, you sound like a good guy to me.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Totally crazy, but you sound like a nice guy.
Never said something that nice to me before, so thank you.
Yeah, no. I mean, you sound like a nice guy. You got to admire his spirit, his spunk. So what if he's crazy? At least... No, you're a good
guy. Thank you for having me here. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, Mark Levine, thanks for being with us. Good luck with everything. And it's like that Harry Reid, he's so spooked by these Koch brothers. If he hears a noise in the middle of the night in the home, he goes, oh, Koch brothers. But somebody has to explain to him. You can go all over America and stop a nice working, hardworking, but they don't know who the Koch brothers are. This is not an issue. We'll take some calls in a minute. 800-941-SEAN is the number. 800-941-SEAN. It's Mark Simone here for Sean Hannity. Sean will be back on Monday.
Hannity Headline, a bite-sized version of the show that you can take with you anywhere you go. To sign up today for Hannity Headlines, go to Hannity.com.
Welcome back. It's the Sean Hannity Show. Mark Simone here for Sean. He'll be back on Monday. If you want to email me, go to MarkSimone.com, and you can sign up for Twitter there. And I'm getting lots of emails during the show. Here is one. This is a very good point. Remember we were talking about voter fraud, and the thing is you should have to show photo ID to vote. And then plenty of those MSNBC loonies will start screaming that it's intimidation, you shouldn't have to show photo ID. But here's Beansy writes, he points out, the same people have to show photo ID to get medical care. If you show up at a hospital and you want to be admitted, you have to show photo ID. Even if you show up in the emergency room in a dire emergency, got to show ID to get it. You have to show ID all over the place. You have to show ID to get into this building. You have to show photo ID to get into MSNBC. It's the system they use. So lots of good email coming in. Keep sending it. Go to MarkSimone.com. Hit the email button there. Here's what it is about the Koch brothers. Do you remember Ann Coulter has a book? Her new book is called Never Trust a Liberal Over 3. I forget the name of the book before that. It was all, what was it called? It's about Mugged. No, Mugged was one before that, I think. Was it Mugged? Oh, okay. But it was about, she wrote a great book about the mob mentality and how liberals used the model of the French Revolution. The conservatives like the model of the American Revolution. But in the French Revolution, she breaks it down, and one of the most important key things was you had to create a big demon to get the mob fired up against this demon. So when it was George W. Bush, the demon was Halliburton, this evil Halliburton. Now, there was never anything wrong with Halliburton. Bill Clinton had one contractor for 8 years. Halliburton did everything for Bill Clinton. In fact, the only time in history Halliburton lost the bidding, 1998, they lost to DynaCorp. Bill Clinton stepped in, personally overruled it, handed it back to Halliburton. Do you know who President Obama's number one contractor is? Halliburton. In the 6 years President Obama has been in office, he has given every Iraq contract to Halliburton. He has paid them billions. You never hear a word about it. But as soon as it was Bush, Halliburton, this big demon. So this is what they're doing now with the Koch brothers. You're supposed to be frightened of the Koch brothers. This is the new Halliburton. The Koch brothers. Do you remember the Carlyle Group? That was Bush Sr. It was, this Carlyle Group is running the world. It's basically just a big mutual fund. You know what they do now? They own apartment buildings in New York. But you're supposed to be terrified of the Carlyle Group, Halliburton, and now the Koch brothers. It's like these horror films that they keep making. But it's all part of this mob mentality. Hey, when we come back, we'll have plenty of time to take calls. 1-800-941-SHAWN is the number. So call me right now, 1-800-941-SHAWN. It's Mark Simone here for Sean Hannity. He'll be back on Monday, and we'll take some calls coming up in just a second.
We know you never want to miss the Sean Hannity Show. And now you never have to. Just sign up for Hannity Headlines. A bite-sized version of the show that you can take with you on your laptop, your mobile phone, everywhere you go. Even to your liberal in-law's place in Vermont.
So, yeah.
And after a few hours of that, you'll be glad you brought Sean along. To sign up today for Hannity Headlines, go to Hannity.com.
Hey, it's Mark Simone here for Sean. He'll be back on Monday. Let's see, what else is in the news? Hey, you've been following this Nigella Lawson story? No? She's that beautiful chef. You see her on the Food Network.
The cocaine and the divorce?
Yeah, the English chef. She admitted in court that she used cocaine. And by the way, that's not unusual for a great chef. Many of them do that. But she tries to come to the U.S. She's a big star on the Food Network here now. And I think she's got some big network TV deal in the works. But she goes to Heathrow Airport and they won't let her on the plane. They deny her admission in the U.S. because she admitted in court that she had used cocaine a couple of times. Won't let her in the U.S. But look at this. Look at this list here. This Paul McCartney comes and goes. He's practically living here now. I mean, he's not only been caught with drugs in airports, but remember he got caught in 1973 growing pot on his farm in Scotland? This is not just a drug user. He's a drug manufacturer. Keith Richards comes and goes. Every time he's at a concert, he leaves, comes back. He lives in Connecticut. Look at that Toronto mayor, Rob Ford, crack user. Remember he flew in to be, what was he on, the Jimmy Kimmel Show or the Tonight Show or something? Coming and going. This Nigella Lawson, first of all, she's gorgeous. Second of all, she's an incredible cook. Let her in. We need more women like this. Now, according to Page Six in today's New York Post, remember she was in a terrible marriage with that very powerful guy, Satya, I think his name is. Remember he was caught choking her in a restaurant? So everybody says he's very connected with everybody. He's very friendly with the Obama administration, the U.S. ambassador. So nobody ever gets stopped for this stuff, but they think he may be reported her or did whatever he did. So speculation that that's maybe part of the reason she can't get back in. Hey, you remember The Godfather, the movie producer? You remember the movie producer gets the horse's head in his bed? Do you remember that mansion? Picture that mansion. It's really beautiful. It's in Beverly Hills. There's an actual Beverly Hills mansion they used for that scene. Remember the unbelievable grounds with that pool? It's been used a few times. It was in the movie The Bodyguard as well. They used it in a Columbo episode. It's still there. It's up for sale. It just went on the market. $135 million for a house. $135 million. You remember you read about this Beverly Hills mansion that went for like $102 million the other day? This is going to be the all-time record. $135 million house. Now, it's unbelievable. The grounds, amazing. It's a big, huge mansion. And it says William Randolph Hearst lived in it at one time. And it's been fixed up a lot through the years. The fact that it was in The Godfather, and that's where the horse's head was, probably drives up the price as well. Well, let's take some calls. We've got a lot of people have been hanging on forever. Let's go to Jeff, Mississippi, a Navy vet. Hey, Jeff, how you doing? Jeff? Yes.
How you doing, Mr. Simone? I know I'm going to keep this brief, and I was told to, but I was stationed in Diego Garcia.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I've never heard anybody say anything about Diego Garcia.
You were in the war?
No, I was in the Navy. No, I was stationed there in 83.
You were in our Navy? Yeah. On our side, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, U.S. Navy.
Oh, God. Yeah, and, okay.
My point being is, it's a small island.
I hope you weren't the lookout.
No. I was a hospital corpsman.
Oh, okay. And, that's good. That's better. Keep you below.
Yeah. And, but I know a lot about, you know, the base and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But if there was a plane within, well, I can tell you this, within a 500-mile radius of Diego Garcia, we would have known about it. Transponder on or transponder off.
No, I got to be honest. You sound like a great guy, but I wouldn't put you in charge of the search. Nothing personal. You're a great guy, but you sound like you might be a little slow out of the chute, if you know what I mean. Are you there, Jeff?
All right.
Oh. So,
yeah.
Well, so
yes, I'm here.
But you know what it is? Apparently, it's an old 777. The new ones have all kinds of stuff in it, but the old one has that one transponder, and you can shut it off.
Yes, but even back then, we had F-14s flying that kept an air cap, and to this day, we got F-18s that fly an air cap over them, and you can turn that transponder off all day long.
Yeah, but they say it's the one part of the world where we don't even bother with the South Indian Ocean, even our ships, we don't even patrol it. We just stay out of there. There's nothing going on there. So a lot of people think that maybe the pilot deliberately, he knew that was an area. If you went into that part of the world, South Indian Ocean, nothing. There's no radar, no anybody watching anything.
Well, that's not true.
No. There you go. It's official. It's not true. Jeff from Mississippi has corrected us. Hey, Jeff, you're a good guy. Thanks. I know you hung on a long time. You going to have a good weekend, Jeff?
You too.
Oh, okay. Well, have a good weekend. Thanks for checking in with us. Let's go to let's go to Myra, Oklahoma City. Myra, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, what's going on, Myra?
Thanks for taking my call. First time caller. I'm one of the 7 million that signed up for Obamacare.
Oh, so when you went to the website, was it easy?
I did not go to the website. They signed up for me.
Well, how'd you get signed up?
I have no idea. I got a letter in the mail saying they did the application for me.
Oh, now wait a minute. This is interesting because nobody can figure out how they suddenly got 7 million. It was 2 million, next day 7 million. So you're saying somebody signed you. They just signed you up and sent you a letter saying you're signed up.
Yeah, and then they said, you know, you need to go to the website and complete everything.
You know what? This could be, this is interesting. This could be actually some sort of scandal. When you needed to get that last few million, you just sent letters to people telling them they're signed up. Now you, all right, you swear to me, you never went to the website on your own and did anything.
Never, ever. I didn't want them to have my information, but apparently the state gave it to them.
Oh.
Even have an exchange here in Oklahoma.
Yeah, but you know, that's not, is your governor a Democratic?
No.
Your legislature a Democratic?
We're mainly Republican here. We're pretty conservative.
Oh, well, that's interesting. But obviously somebody turned over information to
the... I think it was DHS
or
somebody like that. I don't know. But anyway, I'm on Medicare.
Yeah. Oh, well, so they already have your information. So that's interesting.
I'm already on a federal plan.
Oh, okay. So
they
maybe
don't even realize
either the scandal was they just threw people onto Obamacare or they've already got you on Medicare. They've already got your information and they just shifted you into Obamacare. They reclassified you. Maybe that happened in enough cases to get up to that 7 million number. That
exactly.
Could be well, thanks, thanks, Myra, for calling. You know what? That's pretty interesting. I'll bet in the next couple of weeks, I bet we start to hear about how that number of 7 million was reached. Maybe that's one of the ways they did it. They just shifted people over from Medicare or Medicaid and called it Obamacare. Let's go to Barry, Aberdeen, New Jersey. Hey, Barry.
Mark, how are you?
Good.
You know, it's funny. I'm just listening to the 7.1 million. I mean, it's a comedy, actually. I mean, talk about cooking the books. I mean, there's no actual way to quantify that there's 7.1 million. And if anything, it's just maybe people just signing a name and address to something. The worst is yet to unfurl with this, you know, with this whole Obamacare situation. And off the top of my head, who was the Levine character that you were talking to?
Oh, he's a good guy. Don't pick on him. He's a little mixed up, but he's a good guy.
I swear to God, I thought he was related to Anthony Weiner.
Well, you know.
You know, he's talking about these contributions.
I don't mean in the bad stuff, but he does remind me a little of Weiner in the way he talks with that
unequivocally
energetic, passionate, you know,
but
a lot of energy.
A little daft as you sort of, you know, were alluding to.
Yeah.
The fact that he's, you know, he's so once again obsessed with the Koch brothers and the campaign contributions, we have to put a lid on it. You know, money is free speech. Obviously, they got a little wound up with that when the Supreme Court ruled a certain way. But, I mean, doesn't he realize that he's just being a total hypocrite with the amounts of money, with the union machine and the, you know, just funneling money to the Democratic Party? George Soros, there's such a... you know, a small finite amount in comparison to what, let's say, the Koch brothers donate to.
Yeah, I brought up the point the Koch brothers donated a lot of candidates, and many of them lost last time around. So you can't make the case that they're greatly influencing all these elections. Anyway, Barry, thanks for calling. Hey, he brings up Anthony Weiner. Do you remember Anthony Weiner on this show? Do you remember the screaming arguments, him and Sean? I used to be driving along listening to those. I used to love hearing Anthony Weiner screaming at Sean. This is before the whole scandal. So, you know, everybody was taking him seriously because he was so passionate. And remember, he'd be on the phone yelling. So nobody knew that he was, who knows what he was doing before or after that phone call. Who knows what he was doing during the phone call? Maybe he was tweeting away at the time. Let's go to Donna in Staten Island. Hey, Donna.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I agree with the last caller about your guest. He did sound a lot and reminded me of Anthony Weiner. But I want to just add to what the caller said.
Boy, this is great for this guy's political career. You know, you sound like Anthony Weiner.
I hope that people do see a resemblance, because he should not be in Congress. But anyway, your guest claimed that, you know, most people don't know their state legislature, and so that's where most of the fraud comes in. That's where people can get bought. The solution is not to try to restrict free speech, you know, by preventing people from contributing, but to try to keep people informed. And actually, we as citizens have a responsibility to keep informed, know who our representatives are, get involved.
Yeah.
So I think that's the better solution. And actually, I think that this, you know, the whole finance thing will become less of an issue, as Steve Moore said earlier in the show, that, you know, we end corporate welfare.
I agree with you. Donna, thanks for calling. You're absolutely right. You know, you can try to restrict contributions, but it doesn't work because there's always another way. Let's say you can't give it to the candidate. So you give it to a PAC. They spend the money on behalf of the candidate. Let's say you put a limit on the PAC. They give it to some other sort of organization. They just create an organization that goes around and buys the TV commercials. It's all the same. So if you can't limit it, if there's always another way to sneak the money into the race, I think we should just go for transparency. Forget the limits. Just change the law. You can give any amount to a candidate, but you must write the check directly to the candidate. There must be a website where anybody can go look and see where every penny came from that this candidate took. That at least that way you know what's going on. Let's say the candidate took $50 million from George Soros. At least you know it. At least you can keep track of what's going on. So, I mean, there's no way to enforce limits. There's always another way to get the money there. Just go for transparency. Well, let me know what you think. 800-941-SEAN is the number, 800-941-SEAN. Oh, also, we'll take some calls on, this is an interesting issue, in New Jersey, distracted driving. They're cracking down on this. You remember how, if you text or you're on your phone, you get a ticket. But now they're going after people, pulling them over and giving them tickets for if you're putting on your makeup while you're driving, if you're eating while you're driving. So I did this the other day on my show. Call me and tell me what the weirdest thing you've ever seen anybody do while driving. Truck drivers are great. They see everything. You wouldn't believe the answers the other day. Just call me and tell me the weirdest things you've seen somebody do while they're driving. 800-941-SEAN is the number. And we'll talk about anything else you want to. 800-941-SEAN. It's Mark Simone here for Sean Hannity. Sean, back on Monday. It's the Sean Hannity Show. Mark Simone here for Sean. He'll be back on Monday. And don't forget, of course, tonight, Fox News Channel, Hannity at 10 o'clock. Let's take some calls. Let's go to Adam in Florida. Adam, how you doing? Welcome to the Sean Hannity Show. Adam?
Hello today.
Hey.
Mark?
Yeah.
Hey, sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Great. The weirdest thing I've ever seen driving, I drive a lot for work, and about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I saw a woman breastfeeding her baby.
While driving?
Driving and like on a highway.
Wait. Where was the baby? Like in between her and the steering wheel?
Well, okay, I got up next to her and it was like...
I bet you did.
She was driving a minivan and I just kind of looked over and I'm like, what is she doing? She's kind of hunched over, you know? And then I saw what looked to be like a toddler's head and it was insane.
Well, let's hope it was a toddler. Anyway, thanks for calling, Adam. You know, I did this. We talked about this the other day on the radio because it started in New Jersey where they started giving tickets for anything. They call it distracted driving, like if you were eating while you were driving. And people started to call in, like truck drivers. They see everything. You know, sometimes you're driving to work. Of course, you're drinking coffee or whatever. But sometimes you see somebody actually eating, like a McDonald's Big Mac or something. So this guy called and he said, saw somebody eating an ear of corn. Now, that takes two hands, and you're still going to drip something all over yourself, butter or something. Another guy called and said he saw somebody eating a bowl of soup, which takes two hands to hold while driving. He was like somehow steering with his elbows. What was the other one? Oh, somebody, a truck driver called. He saw a woman who had her foot up on the dashboard and was painting her toenails while driving. Truck drivers see all this stuff. You know what? There's a couple I'm not even telling you about that other people saw. Let's go to, Joe in Rockland, New York. Hey, Joe, how you doing? Welcome to Sean Hannity Show.
Mark, Simone, how have you been, brother?
Good. What do you want to say, Joe?
Well, two things. One, first thing off.
We only got like 30 seconds, so make it quick.
Okay. I think that the Republican Party at this present point in time should try to find out who they're going to get to head up the next presidential run.
Uh-huh.
Because I believe Hillary is going to win. And I think that she put that Castro brother on the ticket with
her. All right, but let me explain something. Whoever the big top front-runner Democrat is never wins. It's always somebody that you never heard of that comes out of nowhere all the time. Jimmy Carter, George McGovern, Dukakis. Clinton was totally unknown when he popped up. Look at Hillary had it in 08. A rookie came out of nowhere and took it away from her. Hey, we're out of time. Sean will be back on Monday. You want to email me, go to MarkSimone.com. You can sign up for Twitter there and all that stuff. Thanks for being with us. Sean on Monday.